ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
These ideas are just in so many ways the Rosetta Stone or the cornerstone of so much of our modern thinking.
He doesn't describe it as a self-help book. He says this is an action book.
It's arguably one of the most successful books of all time. It's tried and it's tested.
It's one of the best-selling self-help books of the 20th century. Championed by business tycoon Warren Buffett, utilised by former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, and exploited by the murderous cult leader Charles Manson. Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People dates back to the Depression era and was first published in 1936. It's sold millions of copies since, including in the communist stronghold of the Soviet Union. Hello, I'm Cassie McCullough, and this is The Books That Changed Us, where we're asking how and why some books rose above others to shape the collective mind of the 20th century. Part of the success of How to Win Friends and Influence People lies in the simplicity of its message. Smile and show interest in other people. But it also taps into capitalism's key motivations, personal reinvention and prosperity. So, how did this book of sometimes folky wisdom become one of the best-selling self-help books of all time?
I really like the book, even though it's been criticised as being so manipulative, hokey, weird or whatever, because I like the honesty of the book. My name's Adam Ferrier. I'm a consumer psychologist and also founder of creative agency Thinkabell. And I've gone from being a psychologist in a forensic setting through to being a cool hunter through to being in marketing and advertising.
Adam Ferrier's also written a couple of books on advertising.
And when I wrote The Advertising Effect, How to Change Behaviour, I was trying to come up with a title that had a benefit in it and could be used for business as well as personal. And that was inspired by the title of Dale's book.
When I walked into a bookstore to buy a copy, which I'd had reserved, I realised that was entirely unnecessary because there was this big display and a whole column of the books right out the front of the store. And I thought, my goodness, who's buying this book? But maybe it's just the power of the title.
The title is magical. But I think there's a lot of people buying this thinking, how can I get my kids to eat their vegetables? Or how can I be a better partner? Or how can I hang out with my friends, be more influential with my friends? So I do think the title, How to Win Friends and Influence People, is very much about, you know, how to have a successful life. And that is now an industry in itself, right? It's a massive industry, and this is kind of the genesis almost.
Dale Carnegie died in 1955, aged 67, and by that point, it's said that 30 million copies had been sold. So that number's even bigger now. His book has also had a powerful afterlife. The US rock band Everclear penned a 2003 song with the title How to Win Friends and Influence People, and the English band Terrorvision's 1994 album title also plays homage to the book. There have been numerous spin-off and copycat books that riff on the title, including 2024's How to Win Friends and Influence Fungi by the blokes behind the quirky live science social event phenomenon called Nerd Night. In 2005, Carnegie's only daughter, Donna Carnegie, published a version targeted at teenaged girls, which was re-released in 2020. And then there's George Mladenov.
You might know me as an Australian survivor legend that's appeared on reality TV shows, but I'm also a lawyer and an author and a former political staffer.
And George is the author of a book called How to Win Friends and Manipulate People.
My book was basically a story on what has worked for me and in my life. It is almost a homage to Dale Carnegie's book with a very similar title. which I read for the first time when I was in a pre-production lockdown period before I was going to film my first season of Australian Survivor. So basically, we had 11 days without communications. It was during that COVID period. And I told myself I need to stock up on a lot of books that'll entertain me and also help get my mind into the right mindset before I play Australian Survivor for the first time. And one of the books I thought, why haven't I read this yet, was How to Win Friends and Influence People. And when I read that book, it touches on a lot of facets in terms of how to handle people, how to make people like you. And when I had the opportunity to release my first book, I thought I'll read over the original and then I'll give my spin on it in my book.
Although Dale Carnegie built his career on his skill in public speaking, there are only a handful of recordings of Dale Carnegie himself. The examples you'll hear were recorded by the American networks CBS and NBC.
Hello, everybody. You know, the happiness you get out of life and to a large extent the size of your income will depend very largely upon your ability to win friends and influence people, become genuinely and actively interested in other people, and show it.
So what was it in Dale Carnegie's life and experience that made his thinking so, well, influential? Perhaps it's because he was a first-hand witness to the extraordinary transformation that took place in the early 20th century, the modernisation of the workforce. He saw for himself the way industrial relations moved from a blunt instrument of the purely transactional, that is, the exchange of money for time and labour, to the motivational model of incentivised employee management.
My name is Joe Hart. I'm the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. We're a global training organization. We're based in New York City, 200 operations in 86 countries, founded by Dale Carnegie in 1912. You know, he was born into a very poor environment, a farming family in Missouri, which is really the kind of central part of the United States. They struggled greatly when he was young. I mean, struggled in terms of even just providing food and having adequate clothing and that type of thing. And it was a very hard life. Ultimately, he was able to go to college and discovered in college that he was very good at and developed a skill of public speaking and of oratory and debate. And he really enjoyed that. So he ultimately decided to, after college, to go into sales.
After an initial misfire, Dale Carnegie tried his hand as a travelling salesman in South Dakota. But despite his success, New York and a career in acting beckoned. However, that didn't pan out.
And so after a variety of different things, he ultimately was trying to find what should he do. And he started teaching public speaking at a YMCA in Harlem, New York in 1912. And that really became the beginning of the Dale Carnegie course. And it was from that program and really the 2 decades that followed that he developed what became How to Win Friends and Influence People.
These public speaking classes became incredibly popular. The original edition of the book claims that, quote, 2,500 men and women thronged into the grand ballroom of the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City to attend a class. Apparently, they were executives, employers, and professionals.
In the 30s, a young editor from Simon & Schuster took one of Dale Carnegie's programs. And his name was Leon Shimkin. And he approached Dale. He said, what you're doing is absolutely incredible. You should write a book.
How to Win Friends was not Dale Carnegie's first book. He'd already published quite a few, including his first in 1915, which built on his knowledge of public speaking. This book is still in print today. But he also wrote a biography of Abraham Lincoln and tried his hand at fiction. He wanted to write the great American novel, but it was such a disaster, it turned him off writing altogether. So, when he was first approached by Simon & Schuster to write a book about his course, Joe Hart says that Dale Carnegie just wasn't interested.
But after a period of time, Leon Shimkin was very persistent. And he said, look, what if we just have a stenographer sit into your class and start to take notes about what you're talking about? And that's what they did. And so that was really How to Win Friends kind of came from Dale's course, which we still teach today.
Carnegie hired researchers to find anecdotes to include about successful historical figures. And he also conducted interviews with industry leaders, including industrialist Henry Ford and the inventor Thomas Edison. He said he was trying to discover the techniques they used in human relations.
I mean, today this book has been a best-selling book for over 87 consecutive years. It's one of the most read books of any book ever written. And part of it is because of just the strength of his storytelling and his insights also in terms of just who we are as people.
The style is really notable. It's kind of, I don't mean this in a pejorative way, but it's kind of folksy. It's like you're sitting around a kitchen table or around a fire and having a conversation.
It really is, Cassie. And it's interesting because even the way that Dale talked, and he might say something and repeat it with emphasis. And so you'd think in a written form, you might not do that. You might in a speech, you might, you know, really in presenting. But he wrote it in a very colloquial way and had a real charm to it. It's almost like when you read the book, you could hear what you'd perceive his voice to be. He's telling this. And just like you said, it's around like a campfire or something like that. And I think it's part of what makes it so compelling.
Perhaps timing was also part of the success, coming as it did at the depths of the worldwide economic downturn of the 1930s.
This is a day of national consecration. Expect that on my induction into the presidency, I will address them with a candor and a decision which the present situation of our people impels. So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
A rousing speech given by US President Franklin D. Roosevelt at the lowest point of the Depression in 1933. How to Win Friends and Influence People landed at a time when people were suffering from the severe economic hardship that ravaged the global economy from 1929 to 1939.
There's no doubt that the timing of the book really resonated with a driving need that people had at that time. People were struggling. And society was changing, and people were trying to figure out how they could advance, how they could build their careers, how they could get ahead, and that type of thing. So the book kind of was just the right thing at the right time for the people in New York and in the United States where it was released.
Carnegie himself doesn't mention the state of the global economy in the body of the book. And as the book is still popular today, Adam Ferrier believes its success goes beyond the economic conditions of the time in which it was published.
The title and the content of a book could have been written yesterday. I don't think there's anything particularly of the moment about the book. I think the success of a book is that it's a business book and a personal development book and you can have a more successful life book all wrapped in one.
One of the ways it has dated is that How to Win Friends and Influence People is full of a lot of arcane references to people who are long gone and of no real household currency today. There's Alexander Pope, Woodrow Wilson, Charles Schwab, the steel magnate, actor Clark Gable, and circus owner P.T. Barnum. But the point of the anecdotes about these once famous and successful people is to feed into the mythology of the United States as a classless society with the idea that anyone can make it big.
I think most of the lessons are from the extremely wealthy or the extremely powerful, and then I'm applying them to, but you too can be like this, or despite this person's amazing wealth, they were still a really genuine person, kind of feels like the prevailing kind of attitude of it. And then you too can be really wealthy if you practice what this wealthy or powerful person has done, which is a little bit kind of misleading. I don't think it's that causal, but he's taken a lot of his examples from people who are extremely rich or extremely powerful.
This is The Books That Changed Us with me, Cassie McCullough. Today, it's Dale Carnegie's best-selling 1936 self-help book, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
A good smile has the same effect as a puppy's tail. When a puppy wags his tail, he says, I'm glad to see you. And a smile says the same thing.
The secret of this book's success is that it isn't just used by business executives, but everyday people who want to change their life circumstances. Underneath it all is the belief that if you follow the advice, your life will change for the better, regardless of your economic circumstances. And it draws its lineage from the positive thinking movement of the 19th century. So, what's the central advice in How to Win Friends and Influence People? Smiling is one part. Joe Hart.
So the first part of the book is about even being a friendlier person, right? So if I'm going to start to engage someone and try to establish a relationship, what are some of the things that I need to do? And you mentioned smile. Certainly, it's such a simple idea. And many times people will say, wow, it's so, you know, basic or whatnot. But when we think about it, I mean, how often do we smile at people? And how do we feel when people smile at us? And if we want to be approachable. I had this conversation with one of my kids the other day who sometimes struggles with smiling. And I said to him, I said, you know, when you see someone and they're not smiling, what signal does that send to you? And he said, well, they don't want to talk. That's right. And if they are smiling or they look friendly, what does that send? And they're approachable, you know, and maybe that there's an opportunity to get to know them. So again, this isn't necessarily I don't want to say kind of rocket science, so to speak, but these principles are foundational, and that's one of them. You know, another one is, let's just say that we go to an event and we're talking to someone. Who's going to do the talking? Am I going to go and start? So you and I are talking, Cassie, and we meet each other, and I'm going to tell you all about all the things I know and how great I am and all the great things I've done, and you're going to say, "Geez, this guy's a bore." But part of what he talks about and some of the principles in this first section are about, you know, become genuinely interested in the other person. Become interested in Cassie. Try to find out, learn about her. And, you know, and if you see something that is interesting, you know, acknowledge that. Give her, but honest and sincere appreciation, you know, just recognize that.
The book also includes strategies to encourage employees to improve performance. Consumer psychologist Adam Ferrier.
One of the chapters that really kind of appealed to me was around throwing down a challenge, which is part of how to win people to your way of thinking. And it was kind of just appealing to people's competitive spirit. And so one of the examples in it was there was this battery that made bushels of something or other. And the CEO found out how many bales they had made overnight, the night shift, and they'd made six. And he just did a big six on the ground in chalk. When the day shift came in and said, oh, we can beat this. And they did seven that day, and then they scrotted out the chalk and did a big seven. Then the night shift saw it and said, oh, my God, they did seven. We can beat that. And they did 10 overnight the next day. And then this kind of thing continues. And it kind of is about tapping into people's innate desire to compete.
Behavioural psychology was an emerging field in 1930s America, and Dale Carnegie embraces the principles that were developing at the time.
He talks about positive reinforcement being much more powerful than punishment, and he constantly references people like B.F. Skinner and the behaviouralists of the time.
Carnegie writes, "This great contemporary psychologist has shown by experiments with animals and with humans that when criticism is minimised and praise emphasised, the good things people will do will be reinforced and the poorer things will atrophy for lack of attention."
You don't get bosses being hard asses nearly as much. It is all about kind of a, you know, good positive workplace culture and being nice to each other. But at the time, that was a little bit more breakthrough than it is now. But it's still obviously relevant for today.
He's even directing you how to physically read the book. And at the back, there's, you know, a place where you can keep your notes. And, you know, there's bullet points. He says, read with a crayon, pen, pencil, magic marker or highlighter in your hand. When you come across a suggestion that you feel you could use, draw a line beside it. If it's a 4-star suggestion, then underscore every sentence or highlight it and mark it with an asterisk, 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 asterisk. You know, it's very punchy.
He doesn't describe it as a self-help book. He says, this is an action book. This is a book I want you to take action from. Describing as an action book and giving space and commanding you to take action and highlight things and write things down and jot things down. We do learn stuff by acting. So as soon as we do act, then we kind of code what we're doing more tightly. So by making you take those notes and so forth, he is actually helping you learn and remember what the book's about.
Remember George Mladenov? He read Dale Carnegie's book in preparation for the reality TV show Survivor, Brains versus Brawn, the first of his two stints on the show.
Ironically, what happened to me on my first Survivor season is the jury resented me and didn't vote for me at the time. And that was a very specific set of circumstances on that TV show that brought myself into the public fore for the first time. But it holds true. And maybe I should have put those practices that I learned from how to win friends and influence people into practice better when I played Australian Survivor Brains v Brawn and read it for the first time just a month prior.
Which just goes to show that reading the book isn't enough. The advice needs to be practiced.
Be sincere. You will just be wasting your time if you pretend to be interested in other people in order to get something out of it.
For a book that's been around for almost 90 years, it has had its fair share of critics. One of them was Sinclair Lewis, the US novelist, social critic, and 1930 Nobel laureate for literature. He summed up Carnegie's advice at the time as, quote, "Smile and bob and pretend to be interested in other people's hobbies, precisely so that you may screw things out of them." And for a book about winning friends, it doesn't actually say all that much about friendship.
Yes, about making connections with others for the benefit of you. It doesn't actually ever talk about trying to create a collectively better society or anything. It's just all about how you can get ahead and you can be better off. I reckon this is also the tension in the book. But just by calling it out that this is what works, there's probably more sincerity and authenticity in that than not. So like in today's parlance, he may have said, make sure if you brag about your achievements on LinkedIn, you do it in a humble way. Or if you support a cause, make sure you put a badge next to your Facebook page to let people know that you support that cause so they all think better of you. And so people don't like the fact that you're calling out what actually works. And so I just like the bravery of saying, you know, just smile and use people's names and you know, I like the bravery of doing that.
The American cult leader Charles Manson reportedly used Carnegie's techniques to convince members of his cult, called The Family, to commit a series of gruesome murders in Los Angeles in 1969. So the techniques can be used for good and evil, which is another of the criticisms.
I used to be a psychologist in the prison system, and there used to be a joke when we were all psychologists there about who would survive really well as a prisoner in the prison system. And one of the leading psychologists in the organisation said that I would survive really well in prison because I would be good at working out how to get other people or the other inmates to do stuff for me. And I think a lot of this book is around how to get other people to invest themselves into you, you know, and things by listening to them and kind of flattering them and getting them to open up and so forth. And at the end of the day, they're kind of manipulative techniques. And so if you want to start a cult, for example, if you practice those or really instinctually know those and dial those up to 1,000, which Charles Manson has, then that's kind of just the same thing as a door-to-door salesman or somebody who's trying to get their kids to eat their veggies dialed up to a million. It's just taking these psychological principles and getting people to become dependent on you.
What's interesting about, like, the word manipulation is everybody's scared of it, but it happens every single day in every single aspect of your life.
Of course, Survivor contestant and one-time political staffer George Mladenov's book title is How to Win Friends and Manipulate People. George is obviously also trying to get the reader's attention with his chapter titles too.
For example, my book has dramatic titles like Win Friends and Empty Their Pockets. But when you read it, there's a moral to the story where you try and get that situation where it works for you and it works for the other party and you're entertained at the same time. I don't know if that's my lived experience in southwestern Sydney, being from Bankstown, being from Eastern European heritage, but I always found that's what worked for me. If you can, in a 2-3-4-way bargain or exchange where you're, say, in a workplace trying to get a raise, or where you're on a board of a soccer club or a church or something like that, you have to come to that middle ground where everybody gets the win. Because if one party doesn't get the win, the deal will either fall over or it'll be a bad deal for you and the other party.
As CEO of the organisation Dale Carnegie, it is, of course, Joe Hart's job to defend the legacy of Dale Carnegie. But does Joe Hart acknowledge that Carnegie's work can be seen as manipulative?
I acknowledge that was a criticism, certainly of many at the time, even that he wrote it. And he was very emphatic in saying, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. Certainly, people can use anything in life for good or for bad. You know, people could use things in a manipulative way, maybe many things in a manipulative way. He was very, very clear in the book and in subsequent writings and talks and so forth that this is not that. It's not, you know, trying to use other people. It is really trying to value other people and to develop relationships that ultimately make this kind of an approach to life, an approach to how we treat people. And if we do that, then we're going to have great relationships and we can have great happiness and great success as well. So there are those who might look at this in a different way. That's certainly not what Dale intended.
You can win more friends in 2 months by becoming genuinely interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you.
I was a little sceptical going into reading this book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, but I have to admit it's hard not to be won over. And I challenge anyone to read the book and not take something away from it that might make them a little easier to get on with.
And I think what's fascinating is that it was the kind of a first of its kind, but they're now everywhere. So it's more relevant today than it probably was in the time it was written.
The book spawned a whole business self-help industry, from Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking to Stephen Covey's The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and even Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal. Thanks for joining me, Cassie McCullough, for The Books That Changed Us. And thanks also to Joe Hart, Adam Ferrier and George Mladenov. You can find their details and the series at the ABC Radio National website. Just look for RN Presents. Next time, it's Hiroshima by the American journalist and writer John Hersey, which revealed to the world the true horror of the bombing of Japan.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.